Let's do it.
This is the Beer of the Day podcast.
From Beer of the Day World Headquarters in Elk Grove, California. This is the Beer of the Day podcast. In the last 2 months, I have made 3 different trips to the LA area, and Jeff and I have visited, I think, pretty much all the breweries they have in LA. And at each place, I've collected beers and brought them back up here to Northern California, and we're going to have them tonight. When I go to a brewery and buy a beer, usually it's an IPA, so the majority of them tonight are IPAs.
Oh, goody.
Just for you, Britton. I'm Dallas Hulliker. Joining me tonight, Joel Miner, Britton Miner, Steve Williamson, and on Skype from Pasadena, Jeff Miller and Lance Burks.
The dynamic duo.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Ready to try some LA beers?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, let's get into the very first one. Non-IPA to start out with, a little bit of a warm-up beer.
It's one of those champagne bottles.
Andy's not here, so Joel's handling the beer opening duties tonight. This is from Monkish Brewing Company in Torrance, California. It's called Haiku de Saison, 6.3%. And it was last Sunday that Jeff and I went to Monkish, first time there.
We picked this up at the brewery. It's very fresh. I've been there a couple times. I mean, Monkish is a brewery that's very known for like their Belgian style ales. Like everything on their menu is Belgian-esque. And I'm looking forward to this.
I'm just curious, like what does this bottle run, you know, retail?
I think it was about 14, 15.
Yeah. The brewery itself was pretty cool. Very busy. It's kind of in a business park. And you go in there and they have a different kind of tasting. Normally you can buy just the little tasters and they give you a bunch of little glasses. This one, they give you tokens, little wooden tokens, chips, and then you turn them in and get your taster. And then they pour a pretty good half a glass size taster. And then you get to try 3 or 4 of them.
Yeah. I mean, it's good and it's bad. Like if you're the type that likes to have a flight of beers lined up and you want to see like 5 beers at the same time and taste them all, they don't do that here. It's like one at a time. But I kind of like the system because I think you actually get more beer per like fill. And you try one at a time. You concentrate on that. It's just a different system. So I kind of like that.
It's like drinking 3 beers, but just little beers. And then also it's less glasses for them to have to wash because you're just using the same glass. But they wash it out.
I'm a little floored because Haiku de Saison, Monkish Brewing Company, 6.3% is a haiku. You're welcome.
Is it?
Yes.
Okay. 5 syllables or something?
5.75.
So color-wise, it's a cloudy, light yellow, pale yellow color. Tiny little bubbles of carbonation floating up. And a thin white head with very small bubbles on the head. Fairly good lacing, kind of sticks to the side of the glass. Smell-wise, I get a little bit of a grassiness and then also a little funkiness, too.
A little bit of corian.
Am I seeing cork sediment in the beer? No, I think it's probably some yeast or... We have a little sediment in ours. I don't know about you guys.
Ours is pretty clean, I think.
Yeah, ours is pretty clean.
There's a lot of carbonation.
This is pretty tart.
Yeah, definitely. Makes you pucker.
It's kind of, for a Saison, if that's what this is, you know, a Saison is usually a little bit more of a crisp, kind of a cloudy, but more of a, like a lager. This is more of like a sour to me.
I remember you told me when you got back that they had a lot of sours there, and you mentioned they do a lot of Belgians. This could kind of be Monkish's take on a Saison, using their kind of, their style of brewing.
Yes. Yeah, and I get... You know, some like banana and maybe clove flavors that you would get in a lot of like Belgian ales. It's a little tart, but I mean, I think this is what a Saison should be. It's not too, it's different from a sour ale.
Mine tastes pretty sour. I would almost call it a sour beer.
I almost liken it to a Riesling.
Well, it is aged in oak wine barrels, so maybe there's some characteristics there that impart flavors into the beer.
Yeah,
there
is. I could see that.
Riesling is quite sweet, though. This, I get, I mean, it's more sour to me. There's not a lot of sweetness here.
I think Jeff said it well. I mean, Britt and I just went through four beers from Russian River that were all aged in wine barrels, and I think you get some of that, you know, that wine flavor kind of barrel taste to this beer. It's good. It's I think it tastes very clean, and it's very and it seems like they put a lot of effort into this beer with a lot of good flavors that come out. I do get those cloves, a little bit of coriander, and a little bit of sourness, but it cleanses the palate really nice.
I don't necessarily get like a wine flavor, but I think it has a tannic quality where it, like, you know, when you drink a lot of wine, like you grind your teeth together and they kind of stick a little bit, or a little drying sensation. Like, it's tannic to me, but it doesn't necessarily taste like wine.
And so this brewery is in Torrance, which is, you know, a city in LA. This is really like an up and coming brewery scene, I would say. I mean, there's several breweries within a really close radius to Monkish. And Monkish is one of the more established LA breweries, but I think it's considered one of the better breweries. So this is a pretty good representation for this brewery. We had a few good ones from there. We had Feminist, I remember, is one of their more popular ones. Ninja Star, which is like a Belgian blonde ale, with several really good beers, but all Belgian styles.
They had one IPA that was kind of a Belgian IPA, where it's just more of a hoppier Citra hop quality to a Belgian, kind of like this, but instead of like the sour lemon type thing we're getting here, you get the Citra hop flavor. Interesting beer. All right. Before we get into the next beer, anybody have any interesting beers this week they wanted to mention?
I had one. I'll start first. You know, we're going to the Northeast in October, and so this week I was out, I had a beer, and whenever I see beer from breweries we might go to, I'm going to try that. And so I was at Whole Foods, and on tap at the bar, they had a Smutty Nose, mm-hmm. Finest Kind IPA. And Smutty Nose, I think, is the first brewery we're going to go to on our trip in October. And it was a solid IPA. I mean, definitely East Coast style, sweet, but not overly sweet. And, you know, I prefer West Coast styles in general, but this was tasty. It made me look forward to our trip in October. So that was an interesting beer I had this week.
Have we done two Smutty Nose beers on the podcast before?
Or we one? Did. We did the Bouncy House IPA on a very early episode. Oh, and then we didn't do it on the show, but I had one of their Belgian Abbey Ales.
They've had some pretty good stuff that I've tried.
Yeah.
I was doing a little bit of traveling in Cleveland this past weekend, and I came across a gem from Great Lakes Brewing, the Dortmunder Gold. My preference for beers is a little on the malty side, and this hit all the marks that I was looking for. Definitely a good beer. You really got the roasted malts, that backbone that came through. 5%, so you could have a couple without really feeling it. Great body, but not very filling. So it's definitely something that I enjoyed while I was out there.
I've seen a few people online post picture of that one. Yeah, I gotta have to seek that one out. All right, well, let's get into the next beer. The first IPA of the night, the first of 4, 5, 6 IPAs. This is Not Your Bro Dog IPA from Eagle Rock Brewery, Los Angeles, California.
Los Angeles.
This, I think, is maybe the oldest craft brewery in the LA area. It's been around the longest, I believe.
This was one of the first ones that we went to, that I went to in LA. But this was a few years ago, the first time I went there. And there wasn't really that many LA breweries. It really got kind of a slow start compared to San Diego and Portland and Seattle, even San Francisco. LA even fell behind Sacramento in the beer scene early on. But now a lot of these breweries have popped up to the point where there's so many that you can't, you know, you can't even go to all of them in a weekend.
Yeah, it's been growing really quickly. And, you know, Lance and I try to go to a lot of LA breweries. And I mean, it's been huge growth in the last 2 years, but it really feels like the market is not saturated. When I go to other areas like San Diego and other places, there's so many breweries, and that's awesome. But it just seems like there's almost too much that the market can't keep up. But in LA, we go to these breweries, every single place, there's a super long line. Seems like everywhere we go, there's not enough people working there. And so I think they could definitely have, you know, 10 or 15 more breweries in LA and still be fine.
Yeah. So this one, not your dog, not your bro dog IPA, it is a kind of a light copper color, very little carbonation, just a couple of little bubbles floating up, a very thin white head.
Very pungent.
Man, it's got a very strong hop smell to it, like a citrus or even like a flower, man. It is a very strong hop flavor.
I kind of get some earthy hop characteristics on the aroma also.
Yeah, it smells grassy to me.
I don't think we mentioned that this is actually a collaboration with Flagship Brewing Company in New York, Staten Island. And the premise of this beer is they were trying to make a coast neutral IPA. So I'm curious what like Steve thinks of this, because they, you know, they didn't want it to be West Coast style, they didn't want it to be East Coast style, just sort of a neutral collaboration between these two breweries to see what they could come up with.
I don't interpret it as neutral at all. It tastes very West Coast to me. This would be my typical style of IPA that I do not enjoy at all. To me, it just is too hoppy, too bitter. It has that kind of plasticky quality to it that it's not my cup of tea.
So I have the exact opposite opinion. This one has a little bit of that caramel malt base, and then the hops kick in, and it's that very tropical hop flavor. I just love that hop taste, that very fruity, very tropical, sweet hop. I think that's my favorite type of hop character.
It does have a sweet finish.
Yeah. I think it's the people who love West Coast IPAs are going to love this beer, and people who don't aren't going to like this beer. I don't think it's coast neutral in any way, in my opinion.
I think it's West Coast leaning. Absolutely.
I agree.
I don't know. I mean, I think it's very well balanced, and some West Coast IPAs can be very well balanced. But I think there's enough malts here compared to most of the IPAs that I drink in California that I could see where they're going with this. It's not a truly solely West Coast style IPA.
I agree. I think it's like it kind of punches you with hop right up front. But as you let that dissipate, it gets malty and it does get sweet on the end. And for an IPA, I think it has kind of a clean finish. It doesn't really stick around for a long time. And to me, like that, I think that's what Dallas is talking about. Like when I think of East Coast IPAs, I think they tend to have a little bit of a cleaner finish than the West Coast ones that where the bitterness like sticks around forever.
This one is not my bro dog.
It's hard for me to describe. I mean, I get some weird hop flavors, and it's a little tropical, but it's kind of all over the place with the hops.
Yeah, this beer reminds me a little bit of a balance between a standard hoppy West Coast IPA with a little bit of like Deschutes fresh squeezed. It's got that real like tropical hint to it.
Yeah. All right, let's move into the next beer. This is another brewery we went to last Sunday. This is Expatriate IPA. This is from Three Weavers Brewing Company in Inglewood, the future home of the Los Angeles Rams.
Inglewood, always up to no good.
6.9%.
Now, this is one of the newer breweries in LA. Very up and coming. I've had this beer before. I enjoy it. I'm going to let you guys form your opinions first.
Well, my opinion on the color is it is incredibly clear.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it is.
It's like a, wow, I don't think I've seen a beer that clear before. It also has a huge amount of thick white head.
Definitely the most head so far out of the three beers we've had. I mean, not even a comparison.
Super frothy.
Pretty light golden color, though, for an IPA. I mean, this is not a darkish copper color by any means.
And you guys are, like, similar to ours. I'm looking at your screen there. You guys got a lot ahead.
Yeah.
Which that kind of tells me it might be kind of more of a Saison kind of style where they tend to get a little bit of that, a lot of head on them and some of that farmhouse ale.
Very mellow on the smell.
It smells a lot sweeter to me than the last one did. The last one kind of punched you with hops. This one,
pretty mellow.
I feel smells sweeter.
It's mellow.
You get any fruit on that smell, Steve?
I get kind of more of a woody smell. I'm more like an oak.
Mm-hmm. I can see that.
I get lots of tropical aromas.
Ripe melon.
I had Irish whiskey yesterday. And now that you said that, it's messing me up because now I'm smelling like actual whiskey or some sort.
Well, I like it. I think it's a nice reserved beer.
It's very drinkable.
Very, very drinkable. The hop profiles, it's well balanced with the malt profile. So I mean, you're not being overwhelmed by either flavor. Just nicely balanced.
I get very light on the malts. And then I get a kind of a big hop kick, you know, maybe it's 2 seconds into the sip. It's an adjustment from that last beer. So I'm going to apply Andy's three sip rule.
Yeah, I think the last one really punched you right up front and then tapered down. I think this one is opposite and it's kind of mild up front. And then it definitely has like a way more bitter finish than the last one did.
This is 6.9%. The last one was 6.5%. So it's a little bit more alcohol, but it tastes a lot more alcoholic to me than the last one.
What kind of hop flavors do you guys get? Like some citrus, some tropical fruit? I mean, now that is the aroma the same as the taste, or do you think it's a little bit different?
I think the taste follows the aroma pretty well.
I'd say that the hops for me, I'd call them herbal. There's something a little medicinal about the hop flavor.
See,
some like tea, like sometimes some beers, IPAs have like a tea flavor to the hop, like hop
maybe
tea
a
flavor.
Little green tea or something like that.
I know this sounds weird, but are any of you guys getting like a sunflower flavor to it? Like a little bit of like nutty, it's like barely in there and it wouldn't be a peanut. It'd be like a sunflower.
Yeah, I could totally get that. Like kind of pine nut, kind of sunflowery, light, some kind of like oily nut
like
taste.
Sunflower oil or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I get that.
That's pretty good.
I think it's pretty resinous. Like, I don't think it's super piney, but there's a lot of resin in this beer.
It's kind of thick and sticks to your tongue.
Yeah, sticky. That's a good word.
Definitely a coating there.
Does it say on the bottle how many hops are in the
three
brew?
And this was the last brewery. We went to this brewery. It was our last stop on Sunday. And
I had to get to the airport, so we were like, give us five beers and quick. Step on it.
It's interesting. The head brewer at this place is a woman, which she used to work at Drake's in the Bay Area and moved down to a different LA brewery and then was recruited over to Three Weavers. And, you know, they haven't been around too long, but I think they've made a big statement in the last year or so. I hear a lot of people talking about Three Weavers and, you know, I thought all their beers were good when we were there.
I did too.
Yeah, this is a quality beer.
No, it's funny because this one on the bottle says, you know, it's a West Coast IPA. But I feel like the other beer that we had prior to this was much more categorized as a West Coast IPA. This is very, very subtle. And it's just got a lot of wheat flavors. I'm not getting an over West Coast IPA style.
This is definitely a West Coast IPA. It just is that now West Coast IPAs have become so extreme.
Yeah.
What you drink, you're getting ramped up all the time. But in terms of the style, it's a West Coast style. Definitely.
Yeah, I think for me, I define an East Coast IPA as one that's a lot more malt forward.
Yeah.
And this isn't malt forward. It's just subtle.
It's just the fact that we can taste some malt in this one as opposed to a lot of the West Coast IPAs where you can't now.
Yeah.
I think this is very West Coast style. I mean, much more so than the Eagle Rock, in my opinion. I mean, everybody's palate is different, but to me, this is like the definition of a West Coast IPA.
Three Weavers should get better signage on their building. It's very hard to find.
Says the person who wasn't driving.
Now let's get into the beer news of the day.
All righty. So Hop Valley Brewing Company. Another one busts the dust. Another one busts the dust.
know what that means.
Another one.
Who is it, Britton?
Hop Valley Brewing Company out of Eugene, Springfield in Oregon is being bought by beer giant Miller Coors.
We did a beer on our last program 2 weeks ago from Hop Valley, and we talked about how great it was that they, you know, we were getting their beers down here now, and it was kind of a, we were liking everything that was coming out of there, up and coming, and then not a week later, bites the dust.
We must have advertised them too well for Miller Coors.
So they're saying...
They bought this like the day after the merger got approved with InBev also.
Yeah.
So they're saying that the reason why they sold is because they were finding it increasingly difficult to break into new markets outside of Oregon, which I kind of find interesting because like when we went to Seattle, a lot of the Seattle breweries said the same thing. Like we don't really get outside of like our very local market, and they would like to.
Yeah, it's funny to me because, you know, why don't companies do what other organizations, what other companies do in different industries, and that's just go public, you know? I mean, I see a lot of businesses locally in Sacramento that when they're trying to expand outside of Sacramento, they decide, hey, I'm going to go on the NASDAQ, I'm going to go public. And, you know, why doesn't that happen in the brew industry? Why do they sell out to these large breweries instead? You know, I don't know enough about finances to answer that, but it's always shocking to me.
I mean, part of the answer is, in my opinion, that a lot of the craft breweries who don't want to sell out, they're all, you know, small businesses that the people who own them probably take pride. They don't want to be publicly owned. They want to control their own interest. But then the ones that do sell, they want to just get as quick of a payday as they can. They're almost startup companies. They're just trying to, they're cashing in their capital.
Yeah.
Their point is to create a beer that someone is going to want to pay them millions for, and they retire and sail off into the sunset.
Yeah.
And that really leads into the next article. This is Stone Brewery announced a new company called True Craft, and they are basically, they put up $100 million, and they are going to start investing minority stakes in breweries that they deem to be true craft, meaning that they are in this business not for the quick payday or to sell out, but they want to be able to grow. They want to be able to distribute their beer. They don't want to sell out to the big companies, and it's giving them another option. Instead of having to sell out, they can sell a minority to Stone and then get the capital they need to expand, which I thought is a pretty cool idea.
Yeah, so it's like, is it basically just like venture capitalism specifically for small breweries? Like that's what this...
That's what
consortium
it is
for.
Yes,
it's also a little bit ironic because it's like sell out, but just don't sell out to InBev, sell out to me.
True.
Yeah.
But my they're not buying the whole company.
Right, but a lot of times the bigger companies aren't buying the whole company either.
A lot of times they are.
Yeah. True.
Well, it's a good way for them to get access to Stone's distribution as well.
And I think that's correct. The benefit of this the small brewers who really like the craft when they're selling out to the big macro companies is because they have that distribution power and that big machine behind them to buy shelf space in stores and advertising space. And I mean, that's a big thing.
And I think here's the key statement. Stone says that they want to participate and invest in members, but provide minimal stipulations to them from a financial. That's the real key, minimal stipulations.
Right. They want them just to operate as they are for the most part. And then they, they're investing and then, I'm sure they do some due diligence and they invest in the ones they think are good. And to me, it seems like Stone has a pretty good idea of what good beer is and what isn't. So I can see.
And this is obviously how Stone grows too, because Stone is huge now. I mean, they're huge in California. They're huge in the US. They buy up these stakes in other breweries. I mean, that's their growth method without them selling out themselves.
Yep.
It's true.
I mean, it'll be interesting to see when they start going down the list, what those stipulations are and whether or not the organizations who choose to involve themselves in true craft, which is what they're calling it, if they really feel like they have the freedom to act and produce the products and the beers that they choose and kind of go with the creativity that they want without Stone giving them any kind of strong arm, you know, approach to their investment.
Well, and that's what's interesting is that, the $100 million brought forth from an investor group committed to a long-term model, but at the end of the day, like, you know, we hear all the time, you know, you have to shareholder value, stakeholder value. Like, so at some point, the people giving you the money do have somewhat of a say in how you run your business.
True. I see a lot of a little negativity online about this thing. They say, well, how's this any different than, you know, Stone's so big, it's just like InBev coming in and buying up breweries or whatever.
I don't think so.
But, I mean, Stone has always been a pretty reputable, honest company to me. Like, just going into their tap room, they actually have beers. They have more beers than Stone beers. Like, they have half Stone beers and half beers from other breweries that they like in their tap room at their brewery. And I've never seen that anywhere. Every other brewery I go to, some will have guest taps like Eagle Rock.
Or collaborations.
But you go to Sierra Nevada, it's all Sierra Nevada beer. You go to Lagunitas, it's all Lagunitas beer. You go to Stone, they have Knee Deep there. They have a bunch of stuff there. So,
well, that's the number one thing that surprised me about going to the Stone Brewery was that I just thought they would for sure only have Stone beers. And when I saw all these other beers, I was shocked.
Especially considering how many beers Stone creates. I mean, they could fill up every tap with Stone beers.
Oh yeah, but you just get the impression that they're about the craft beer community, and this true craft thing is just another example of a way that they're trying to help the industry. And of course, there is an advantage for them as well.
And if Stone wants to send us all their beers, we'll drink them all.
Yes. Okay. Last article. This relates directly to the podcast tonight.
All right, so Thursday was National IPA Day. Did you guys celebrate with an IPA?
Oh, I missed it.
I celebrate that every day.
Nice. So with that, there are 8 essential LA beers that you need to try. You know what they are?
This is an article the LA Times put out on International IPA Day.
I bet one of them is from Eagle Rock.
Let's see.
I bet, yes. Claremont.
Eagle Rock Populist is on the list. There's Holy also Road. Another that we have already had tonight that is on this list.
Expatriate.
Yep.
Three Weavers.
Very good. Also on the list, Beechwood Barbecue and Brewing, any and all of them. El Segundo Mayberry IPA.
We have an El Segundo on the show tonight. We were there on Sunday.
And we have Beechwood Barbecue on the show tonight.
Beechwood's next. Oh, Highland Park is a cool place, not very far from where I live. I don't think they bottle anything, but Dallas and I went there, like we've been to every LA brewery.
Hermosilla.
And have you guys been to Beechwood Barbecue?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so I'll make a comment here. We went there, and they had 4 different IPAs. They had the Melrose, which we're doing next. They had several others. I can't remember the names of them. But I had all 4 of them, and each one they brought it out, and it seemed like it was the same exact beer that I just had. Like, I think they have one line, and it goes to the 4 taps.
Right.
And so the fact that this article says Beechwood Barbecue and Brew, any IPA from them,
it's because they're all the same.
It doesn't list one because they're all so similar. But they're good, but I found that amusing because that was the comment I made at the brewery.
And Andy's favorite beer right now was on there. Claremont's Jacaranda Rye IPA.
Oh, yeah.
Jacaranda.
What else you got, Brendan?
Smog City.
Bringing up the rear, Smog City Brewing Hop Tonic and Monkish TBD IPA.
All right.
Interesting. Interesting that Monkish is on there for a place that makes Belgian-style beers.
It's also interesting that on the podcast tonight, we have Monkish, Eagle Rock, Three Weavers, Beechwood, Claremont, and El Segundo.
Pretty much got them covered there, huh?
Almost seven
out of the 8.
7 out of the 8 on the list.
Pretty good.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's get into the next beer. Melrose IPA from Beechwood Barbecue and Brew in Long Beach. 7.2%.
I want to go to Beechwood Barbecue and Brew just because of the name of the place.
Wait, do they serve barbecue there? Is that a stupid question?
They serve Beechwood question. There?
Yeah, kind of is. So this is pretty fresh. We got this beer. I don't remember having this at the brewery.
I had it.
I'm not sure.
At the brewery, yes.
We had all 4. But we've been holding on to this one. I mean, I don't mean that like in a long time, but we've had it for about a month and a half, which is kind of sad because I got this 3 days after it was bottled. and it's been sitting there for a month and a half. But this is the beer I've been most looking forward to tonight.
So it is another light copper-colored beer, very little carbonation floating up, a thin half a finger of white head.
I got a pretty decent amount of head on mine. It's dissipating pretty quickly, but it was pretty frothy. And it's a little cloudier than most IPAs I see.
Yes, it's quite cloudier than the previous beers we've had.
It smells like honey.
I get a sweetness from it as well.
Yeah.
It's got a taffy smell, not like a
saltwater,
like
taffy?
A honey, like saltwater taffy smell. Yeah,
like a sugar candy kind of caramelized.
A little bit of butter in there.
It has a smooth mouthfeel to it.
Mm.
That is my style of beer.
It is
me too.
It's quite a bit darker, more like rye bread.
Yeah, I get that.
You know, it's not very sweet at all. There's some bitterness and some, I guess I'd call it dark rye characteristics, where it's not, where these other beers were like fruity hops, tropical hops. This doesn't have that. It's more, a little more bitter.
I also feel at 7.2, like they're hiding the alcohol pretty well. I would say that the Not Your Bro Dog and the Expatriate tasted more boozy than this does.
Agreed.
So it's nice and smooth.
And they say it's chocked full of sticky hop resins. Man, I don't... There's Simcoe and Amarillo varieties in there. It's the buttery feel to this beer that I think brings it home. They're somehow allowing the resins to stay on your tongue for a long time, and it's just a really good mouthfeel. It's very rare that I have a beer that I'm like, it's so good just because of its mouthfeel.
I don't know if I've ever agreed with Joel more than that statement right there. Because for me, the number one characteristic I get from this beer is like the, I don't know if it's a carbonation, but it's definitely it's kind of a powdery mouthfeel, and the texture kind of buttery, silky smooth. That's what makes this beer. It reminds me a bit of when we had the Claremont single IPA. It's that same like texture that I really look for in IPA. This is excellent.
Yeah, I love that Joel said buttery in his description of both the smell and the taste, because that really nails it. And it's almost like a butterscotch or cream soda to me. In that mouthfeel, it's just this kind of this, as weird as it says drinking beer, like it brings you back to your childhood, having like a cream soda, you know, it's very enjoyable.
We've had three IPAs so far. I find it interesting that they have each been, I won't say radically, but substantially different.
Yes, they have.
Different qualities on each one, especially this one is way different than the first two. Well, we have three IPAs down, and we have three more to go. After our strange brew, we have a peach Berliner Weiss from the Dudes Brewery in Torrance, and we will get to that and the other IPAs when we come back here on the Beer of the Day podcast. If you enjoy the Beer of the Day podcast and you want to help us out, you can do so by telling your friends about us. The only way that we grow is by getting more listeners. And the best way to do that is if you recommend us to your beer drinking friends. Send them the link, beerofthedaypodcast.com, or even better, help them set up the podcast app on their phone. Most people don't know anything about podcasts, and there's so many good podcasts out there. It's really great to have. So you'd be doing them a favor and us a favor by showing them how to subscribe to the Beer of the Day podcast. You can also rate and review us on iTunes, and that helps us move up the rankings so that if someone types in beer podcast on iTunes, we want to be one of the first ones on the list. And so we've been slowly moving up the charts, but you can help us by rating and reviewing us. If you want to help us out financially, you can do so by shopping on Amazon through the Beer of the Day website. If you go to beerofthedaypodcast.com, on the right-hand side, there's a little banner that says Shop on Amazon. You click that, you do your regular shopping on Amazon. It doesn't cost you a single penny more, but we get a little bit of commission based on what you spend. So you shop on Amazon, and then we get a percentage. For example, just this week, somebody went to the Beer of the Day website, clicked the banner to Amazon, and they purchased a Nespresso Inissa Espresso Maker Red. Beautiful color, good-looking machine. Cost them $109.99. We made $6.60.
Woo!
6% commission on that. That's pretty good. And a bunch of other people purchase stuff too. So it all adds up and it helps us keep the lights on here. It's not cheap running a beer podcast. First, there's a lot of beer that we have to purchase. These breweries are not giving it away to us for free most of the time. We also have podcasting equipment, web hosting. We have the services we use to send out the Beer of the Day emails each day to your inbox. We text message the Beer of the Day to your phone each and every day. So all these things add up, and by shopping on Amazon through the Beer of the Day website, you help us. Welcome back to the show, Strange Brew segment. On this segment, we feature the strangest LA beer we could find, and today it is from The Dudes Brewing Company, also in Torrance, California. This is the Juice Box series, the Peach Berliner Weiss.
Whoa. Ooh, that sounds good.
That clipped like a bitch.
Did you get some on you, Lance?
Yeah.
You got a little peach in his
not
eye.
Not on me.
4.5%, which is typical for a Berliner Weiss.
Yeah, three times more head than beer.
That peach smell comes through strong.
It's kind of a light straw color. Very cloudy. Slight carbonation. Very thick head.
Yeah, I have about a six-finger head.
Six fingers of head. Big bubbles.
Who's pouring your beer? Because we have like no head on ours.
Oh, look at this guy.
It rhymes with coal. And he's sitting to my right.
Even if I try to pour extra head, it's not happening.
Maybe it's the glass.
I mean, those IPA glasses lend more head naturally.
We warm up these beers with our paint mixer.
So this was also picked up at the brewery. I went here on my own. Like Dallas said, it's also in Torrance. This is a brewery that I think they only can their beer. Pretty small place. They have the Bohemian Hop City, which I really enjoy. It's one of their IPAs. And so this is a little bit different. Peach Berliner Weiss should be good. Refreshing summer beer, I'm guessing.
They definitely took handfuls of peach ring candies and threw it into the vat.
Absolutely.
That's definitely what happened.
It's like a tangy, peachy smell.
So to me, it smells like peach shisha. There's a very slight, like, smoky or tobacco peachy.
What?
I think Joel was on the money with the peach ring candies.
I think it's like candy, but just like peach juice. This tastes like fruit juice. Like, if somebody told me there was no alcohol in here, I might believe them.
Now, it has a little bit of like a grapefruit sour quality, or how it like deadens the tongue, like right in the middle. It's kind of an odd sensation.
It hit me right in my molars.
There's like a bitterness to this. You smell it, and it smells like it's sweet and tangy peach. But then when you take a sip of it, it's actually like more traditional peach, like a little more bitter. It's more like a peach that you had cut into, and you take a bite of, and you get that the rind around the outside a little bit. It's not like canned peaches that are super sweet.
Well, yeah.
It's like a fresh peach.
There's no syrupy quality to it. The peach ring candy meant was the smell of the beer, but that does not come through in the taste at all.
Nope.
So this is the first beer that I think I've ever had where I'm like, oh man, this would be really good to mix with vodka.
True.
This might be the first time that has ever happened because I feel like I've been searching for that experience. And I just think I just found it.
I think it's a little sweet, not really, but it's a little tart. Definitely lots of peach flavors.
But like real peach, not like candy peach or even canned peach.
It's almost not a beer. It's like a malt beverage or something.
Yeah, the thing that I'm actually thinking, and I don't know if it's just because I was expecting so much from the smell, but it's a little bit watery.
Well, it's 4.5%. I mean,
so is a Bud Light.
Yeah, but I mean, this is the body of a Bud Light. I mean, you don't drink a Bud Light or a Coors Light and go, "Wow, this is so full." You know, I'm drinking a beer here. You know, you're drinking it because it's crisp and refreshing and light, and that's what this is.
It's good.
Yeah, hot day at the pool.
Mm-hmm.
Drink 10 or 11 of these.
I feel like if you saw someone doing a keg stand of this, it'd be like a hot girl.
or me. The opposite of a hot girl.
I do get that forced salivation effect there that Britton was talking about right in the molars.
Yeah, mm-hmm. the little thing in the back of your mouth.
Mm-hmm. It gets you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's similar to if you ate like an atomic warhead or something, you get that.
Yeah.
So is this a strange brew? Like, we chose this as the strangest beer, but I mean, I don't know if I've had a peach beer before.
Is it a beer?
Except for that Dogfish had one.
So you have had one before.
I mean, it's the strangest one we could find. It's interesting. I mean, it's not too often you get a peach flavored beer.
That's true.
It's a strange brew to me. Just in terms of the whole, I mean.
I think that I'd be able to pick this out of any lineup that you could put in front of me. It's different than any other beer I've had, so.
Yep.
Yeah, definitely a strange brew.
Were you guys expecting it to be a little bit sweeter?
I was.
Based off the aroma, yeah.
I'm thankful that it's not that sweet, though.
Based off the aroma, I was expecting it to pack a lot more like peach punch, and that's what I think I'm going with on the trying to describe it as watery. It's just not as concentrated peach flavor as I thought it would be based on the smell. Not that that's a bad thing, but I just feel like the aroma is a lot more strong than the flavor.
I think Dallas said it tangy. I think it's tangy.
It is.
I just think I'd have a little tart. The only thing I have a problem with this brew is if someone said to me, "Oh, this is a peach champagne." I'd be like, "Oh, yeah, it's not, I don't really like it, but yeah, it's a peach champagne."
You like you're drinking a Bellini?
Yeah, you're like, "Oh, no, that's a beer." Oh.
Without that same carbonation quality though, but yeah, I mean, flavor profile was.
I think I could tell it's a beer.
I think it sets you up because you smell the sweetness coming into it, and then you sip, and it goes into the tangy profile. So it definitely throws your senses a curveball.
Agreed. It's strange.
All right, well, let's transition back into the IPAs, and I'm helping us out here by choosing the Grapefruit Double IPA from Claremont Craft Ales next. So kind of the citrus going from peach to grapefruit, and we'll work our way into some heavier IPAs now. Now, Jeff and Lance don't have the Grapefruit IPA. They have the Double IPA from Claremont, which is just I think it's the same beer as this, just without the grapefruit. So they're going to have the Double IPA. Same percentage, 8.5%. Joel is pouring the beers here.
Claremont must have ran out of grapefruits before Jeff and Lance got there.
Yeah, this is a very popular beer for them. We've been to Claremont many times. And quite often, they're sold out of it. So we were lucky to get this one bottle.
It pours lighter than I thought it would. I don't know why.
We bought this at the brewery. And they, you know, Claremont's distribution has picked up around L.A. County. But this is one that I'm pretty sure they only have at the brewery. We got it last time we were there. I've had it before. But we don't have it because I don't have any in stock. But we have the regular Double IPA instead.
In stock.
So ours is like a golden, little bit of cloudy color to it. It's lighter than I thought it was going to be for a Double IPA. Usually, you know, if brewers use any kind of malts and there's any dark malts in there, you're going to get a darker color because of all the malts that are in there. But these are obviously light malts they're using to get that 8.5% alcohol content. But Jeff, is yours also that golden light color?
With a slight haze.
Yeah. Added. It's very similar to ours, yeah.
Slightly hazy.
Almost identical.
Golden, light amber color, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, ours doesn't have any amber to it, though. His is a little darker than ours.
I mean, it smells like grapefruit. It's not like, oh, it smells like grapefruit and this. No, it just smells like grapefruit.
I was just going to say that I think it smells a little bit like grapefruit and mint.
Maybe a little mint. I get a little like soapy characteristic.
Mm-hmm. I could see that.
Which I do get in like Double IPAs quite often. Now, the Grapefruit IPA is something that a lot of people are doing now. Obviously, Sculpin is the big heavy hitter in this category. We did one from our trip to St. Louis, Schlafly's Grapefruit IPA, which was a very lighter, subtle light, grapefruit. This is a little heavier on the grapefruit flavor.
Do you guys get like the natural grapefruit flavors in that beer, which the Schlafly one had, and I think the Claremont one has, but some of these other ones have this sort of like chemically grapefruit taste, but I think this one has a natural grapefruit taste.
I was going to say, for example, the Rogue Mango Astronaut is more artificial versus like the Latitude 33, the Blood Orange. It's more of a natural blood orange flavor in there.
Yeah. I mean, I don't eat a lot of grapefruit. Steve does.
I eat my fair share of grapefruit, and this tastes chemically to me. This doesn't taste natural, in my opinion, but I'm also getting so much hop that it's just like, it doesn't taste like grapefruit to me. I see that the grapefruit is in the double IPA, but it overwhelms me.
That's what I was going to say, is that I don't necessarily characterize this as grapefruit. And I think it's more because, in general, I don't like IPAs that much, so I don't drink them very often. So I tend to associate any type of like citrus hop with IPA. And so for me, like, I don't pick the grapefruit out of this. It's just like citrusy hop to me.
I do pick the grapefruit out, and I think it pairs so well with that citrus hop taste, and then the grapefruit as well mixed in there. It's just this citrus explosion, and I love it.
Okay, so normally if Dallas likes something and Andy likes something, because I know Andy likes this beer as well, I'm usually going to like it. I do not like this beer, which shocks me because I was really looking forward to this beer. And the reason why I don't like it is because the bitterness of the hops is so intense that I feel like I'm eating a grapefruit rind, not the actual fruit and flesh of the fruit. I feel like I'm tasting just the rind, and I don't like the way it tastes because it reminds me a little bit of bile. And that's, it's just a hint of it. And like I said, it's just my preference for this beer. I do think that they're doing what they're saying they're doing. They're creating a double IPA grapefruit, but I just don't like the way they match.
All right. Jeff, talk about yours a little bit.
So we're having the double IPA non-grapefruit, but our beer has some grapefruit characteristics. You know, a lot of West Coast style IPAs have a grapefruit hop profile, but there's a lot of tropical fruits in this beer also. I think there's some citrus, you know, grapefruit on the finish, very dry. I like an IPA that has kind of a dry finish. It really accentuates the hops. Ours is 100 plus IBUs,
Woo.
But it does not taste bitter at all. It is like the opposite of bitter, which a lot of double IPAs can be very bitter. And I think this is a very smooth, drinkable double IPA. So I enjoy it. I think it's a solid beer.
To follow up to what he was saying, I was looking down at my sheet and I see that it's 8.5%, and I can't believe it. It's very smooth and drinkable for such a high ABV. It really is.
Yeah, I thought the same thing about the grapefruit one. Although it was very sour grapefruit forward, bitter hop forward, I wasn't getting much alcohol coming through, even though this is the highest alcohol we've had on the show so far. So interesting to kind of compare and contrast the two double IPAs from Claremont.
Incoming transmission.
You've got mail.
Comments this week. On the website, beeroftheday.com, we had several comments. One from a new user on our previous podcast, Exploring the Vault. M. Connor 666. From Grain Valley, Missouri. Thanks for the roundabout shout out on the episode. I'm the one who bought the Game of Thrones soundtracks. I hope it was enough to buy at least a cheap single 12 ounce beer. Well, I think it was definitely enough to cover the cost of that. He bought, I think, 4 or 5 seasons of the soundtrack, so that does add up. But whatever he spends and everyone else spends, it all goes into the one big pot, and then it adds up, and it's enough for us to, I'd say, pay for one podcast a month. Well, half of one. You know, Jeff and I each have to buy the beers, so on each side. So we're still working up to this thing paying for itself, but we'll get there eventually. And we appreciate everybody that shops through the Beer of the Day website helping us out. So mconnor666, thank you very much. This week we featured Hell or High Watermelon on National Watermelon Day, Jeff.
Yes.
Oh, Buckeye Nut says Hell or High Watermelon from 21st Amendment is fantastic on a hot summer day, and he is right.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good swimming pool hot summer beer. And if you like watermelon, if you have it with a slice of watermelon, even better. Jeff put up Swami's IPA, San Diego beer from Pizza Port. And it moved the needle quite a bit. T.S. Brand said 4 is what he rated it. Nearly a perfect example of a West Coast IPA. Not overly exciting, but very drinkable. He must not be a fan of West Coast IPAs. So,
no, I like that description, though. It's not extremely exciting to drink that beer, but it's a good beer.
Yeah, T.S. Brand's from Orange, California. Chris Underwood on Facebook said it's awesome when it's fresh, and T.G. Gonzalez said, good beer. As we're recording this on Friday, August 5th, today the beer of the day was Curo from Allagash Brewing, and Hallie Bune wrote us and said, thanks for featuring Curo at Beer of the Day, and then at Allagash, and they retweeted us, so they're liking us, we're liking them. It's just a big old Allagash love fest on the Beer of the Day Twitter feed right now. So we will be going to Allagash in October, and we'll have more details on that coming out soon, so that if anybody's in the vicinity, you can meet us up and meet up with us and have a beer.
They had a Haley for me while you're there. Hello.
Wow.
On Facebook, Jeff put up the Congress Street IPA from Trillium Brewing Company. This is a beer that one of the best brewers in the country, as far as I know, and 131 people liked the post, so that is one of the biggest beers we've had on Facebook. William Billick, it looks real bad, nasty, but it's Washington, D.C. for you.
Oh, gee.
Derek Jim, looks delicious, right after that, 2 hours later. So one looks nasty, one looks delicious. That was
and
good.
Congress Street is in Boston, for the record.
Well, a little confusion there. If you have any comments, you can post them right on the Beer of the Day website under the Beer of the Day at the or below the podcast. There's a comment section. You can post them on Facebook, facebook.com/TheBeerOfTheDay, on Twitter, at Beer of the Day, and on Instagram, at Beer of the Day site. All right, let's get into the next beer. We're moving into some more double IPAs. This is from El Segundo Brewing Company, El Segundo, California. I was there on Sunday. This is the Hammerland double IPA, 8.6%. It just edged out Claremont by 0.1%.
Dallas, did you have this beer when you were there?
I don't believe I did.
You did not. That was a test.
I had several other IPAs from them. They had about six, I think. These guys are must be the big IPA heavy hitters of Los Angeles.
Look at that.
They took pride in every single one of their IPAs. This place was fun. It was packed. A lot of Dodgers fans. But it's LA, so what do you expect?
Hey, it's an LA beer show.
LA beer show. Dodgers fans, so many beer. They had what, 20 beers on the menu? You know, I want to try as many as I could, but I could only try 5 because we had a plane to catch.
I mean, Dallas is right. This is the epitome of IPA central for LA. You know, breweries. This place makes 8 or 9 IPAs at least. We had a whole bunch of them. Every time we're there, they have a different one. If you like LA beers and you like IPAs, this is the place to go.
And they also have Broken Skull IPA, which is the one that was brewed in collaboration with Steve Austin.
Stone Cold.
Yeah. And we featured that on the Beer of the Day website. And Steve Austin retweeted us that day. And he has something like 200,000 followers. So it was the biggest day we've ever had on Beer of the Day Twitter, for sure.
So Steve Austin, if you're, you know, if you're listening right now, thank you.
Muchas gracias.
Wouldn't it have made more sense for him to collaborate with Stone?
Maybe he doesn't. Well, no. This beer is this beer is crystal clear.
Yeah, it is, and it's really absolutely light.
Yeah, because Stone,
for a double,
they could have saved money by just calling it cold IPA. Anyway, so as the head is dissipating, it leaves a film on the glass. So that means big time lacing. This is very clear, like the Expatriate, but less carbonation. Britton is shaking her head.
Nope.
What does that
not
mean?
Her type
that,
of beer.
That means it tastes like a West Coast double IPA.
Tastes like diesel again.
All right. So.
I think the aroma is very dank. Like, I'm guessing there's mosaic hops in here.
Yeah.
It's very fresh, dank flavors in the, I mean, it's not really flavors. The scent and the aroma is very dank.
There's mosaic and Simcoe.
I'll say this, that even though I don't enjoy the beer, last week's episode, we talked about in the news article, the labeling and the names of beers. This is a great label from El Segundo. I like everything on it. It stands out to me. I would buy it in a store just if I saw that.
Are you speaking like from a branding perspective?
Yeah.
Like just the, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, there's,
I work in,
there's
like
a
marketing,
surfing
so
aspect to El Segundo. There's like a surfboard they have mounted on their wall, a huge, huge one. So I see a surfer on the label here. I don't know the significance of Hammerland.
And this beer is pretty darn fresh. I mean, this beer is 10 days old, basically. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. It was bottled on 7/22, so it's only, you know, what, 13 days old or something like that.
Yeah, which means it was a week old when I brought it home.
Yeah. I do like this beer. It does have a lot of hop flavors, and it's kind of the hop flavors that hit the back of your throat and kind of grab onto your, like, your tonsils. So you got to be wanting that kind of hoppiness to it. But I think it's got a good amount of sugar where it's not too sweet. At 8.5%, you're going to get a little bit of sweetness.
And there is a little sweetness there.
Yeah. But it's pleasant. I mean, it's a good tasting beer. It's a good mouthful. And those Mosaic and Simcoe hops come in strong.
It does come in strong, but it's not overly bitter. It's, I mean, I think just the combination of those hops actually leads to a little bit of a sweetness on the aftertaste. It's not super bitter on the aftertaste. Where some of these double IPAs can get really bitter.
No, it's definitely bitter up front, and there's an underlying sweetness throughout that. Applying Andy's third sip rule, the more I sip it, the more I like it. Like, the first sip was overly hoppy, overly bitter. Steve and I were looking at each other like, yep, don't like it. But the more I drink it, the more I am appreciating some of the underlying characteristics of this beer.
Jeff, you're like laughing and having things going on there. What's going on?
Well, I agree with all of you guys, and I've had this beer several times. And I think of this beer as very hoppy up front. Like, there's some great, a lot of IPAs are like hoppy on the back end. This is very hoppy up front with like grapefruit, a little pine, some resin. But then it gets a little sweet and malty. But it's actually like a little boozy. Like, boozier than most double IPAs. And I get a little alcohol kick from this, but I really enjoy like the long, bitter finish. And if, you know, if you want a strong, this is a pretty strong beer. If you want a strong West Coast IPA, this is it. This is like the, you know, the grapefruit, a little bit of malts, but really just like a long, strong, bitter finish.
Well, I think it's funny because you said the same thing that I experienced when I taste it. It goes bitterness. It stops and it goes to sweetness, and then it goes to bitterness again on the long-lasting flavor. It's like three steps. It's bitterness, sweetness. Hoppiness, sweetness, bitterness.
Quit banging the table.
Sorry. Bah, bah, bah.
Yeah, this is delicious. I mean, this is what they're known for. These are their IPAs, their double IPAs. I mean, this is hops to the extreme. What is it? 8.6%?
Yeah.
85 IBUs?
Is that all?
That's it. Lance, what do you think?
I think the resin-like coating that it adds or has allows you to really experience it for a more prolonged, or provides for a more prolonged experience, I would say. So that's how you can get the different flavor profiles all the way through the drink.
I agree. It does coat the tongue, and it does linger on the tongue for longer. So there is like different phases of the beer.
Jeff said grapefruit, and I'm not really getting grapefruit. It tastes like bitter blueberries to me.
There's a little bit of a tannic quality.
Yeah.
There's a little berry flavors. I mean, I get that. There's some berries, but I think a lot of the citrusy IPAs, there's sometimes some lemon, sometimes some orange, but I just get grapefruit, like the bitter sort of tartness in a lot of hops on West Coast style IPA tends to be grapefruit for me. And that's what I get, especially at the beginning of this beer.
Yeah. All right. Well, we got one more beer to go.
If you can see, yeah, the numbers all go to 11. Look, right across the board. 11, oh, 11,
and most of
11,
these
and then
amps go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10. You see, most blokes, you know, be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up,
yeah,
all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to
11. 11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
Well, crap.
This one goes to 11 too. This is Wolf Mother Triple IPA, 11.2%. 11.2.
Bro. A little shooter action on that guy.
No comment.
God, that's so, you don't have to click it right in the thing because it just blew everything up. All right.
That's what she said.
I'll do it.
This one goes to 11.2 from Golden Road Brewing Company.
This is the biggest LA brewery.
It is.
By far.
And you can get these beers all the way up in Sacramento.
And they sold out too.
Yep.
So I'll be honest, at the end of the show, I'm nervous about having an 11.2% beer.
Why?
That's a lot of alcohol.
Well, just pour it lightly.
Look at that head.
So we've talked about Golden Road before. None of us love their beers, but they have the best brewery overall in LA. Like the experience of going there, the best ambiance. You go hang out for the day, watch football. It's a great place to hang out. I just wish their beers were a little bit better.
Drop your kids off at the playpen, let them run, drink your beer.
That's right.
So this smells like a barley wine to me.
I think it's the best smelling beer of the night.
Yeah. I couldn't place what it smells like, but I just thought that I really liked it.
I agree. It smells good.
Light golden color, dark yellow color. I can't see any carbonation floating up. It's quite cloudy. And the head is one finger of white head, medium bubbles, pretty good lacing.
It looks a lot like some Northeast style IPAs, the cloudiness, the haziness. It looks like that. It'll be interesting to see how this tastes.
Lance's face looks like he just took a shot of 151.
A lot of triple IPAs, you end up getting more maltiness, more sweetness because it's higher alcohol, less carbonation. It reminds me, you know, when once you start getting into 11%, you're getting into that you know, the higher range where even the hops aren't as prevalent. You because you have that the sweetness of the malts. I haven't taken a taste a sip yet.
Well,
so.
you nailed it. That's exactly what's happening here with this beer. It is a little bit thicker and more viscous and more syrupy than any other beers we've had tonight.
Well, Joel, you know this, like as a home brewer, if you were to make a triple IPA, I feel like you have to bump up the malts big time to get that sugar content, to get the alcohol.
Yeah.
I mean, can you even make, how do you even make a beer like this?
I mean, you're using so many malts. I mean, you're just adding a ton of different malts and you're trying to have a malt profile that's not overpowering all the hops that you have. I mean, you can put in so much malts where it just becomes sugar basically that you're tasting. So you're trying to balance like a bunch of different malts that aren't adding a ton of sugar flavor, but you're also trying to balance it with some pretty good hops so that you have like something that's like enjoyable and is unique. I do have a question. How much is this beer? Because it's 19.2 fluid ounces at 11.2%. I mean, if I was like a bum on the street and I'm wanting to get toasted, like this is a good go-to. But I'm curious what you paid for it.
How much did it cost?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Please tell me it's more than $5.
Probably.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, but if it's like $7, so that's good, like wasted to price ratio.
Yeah. I mean, if you're in the 5 to 7 range,
yeah,
and you're drinking 11.2%, you're drinking a 19.2 fluid ounce can, you're having a good time after one or two of these.
Yeah, but where do you get this? Like, just go to Steel Reserve, call it a day.
But it wouldn't be a triple IPA.
I think that this beer is far more malty than I was expecting it to be. And it makes sense for what the ABV is, but I wasn't expecting to taste that.
I think I'm just overwhelmed by every flavor. It's a ton of malts. Mm-hmm. It's a ton of hops. It's bitter. It's like, it's a strong beer.
A little bit of everything.
I mean, it's a triple IPA. I expect triple IPAs to be strong. But I mean, this just hit, like, kicks you in the face.
See, I think it kicks you in the face less than the Not Your Bro Dog kicked me in the face.
No, that wasn't. I thought that was pretty drinkable. This is
strong on the alcohol.
It's super malty, so it'd be better to enjoy this beer in the wintertime.
It's boozy.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the hops, though. Is there like some piney hops? What kind of hops do you guys get?
Pine. I get grass.
Yeah, piney and grassy.
I get a little earthy.
You're not getting a lot of tropic, though. That's for sure. You're getting
earthy, it's not floral, piney, it's grass. Not citrusy.
And not citrus.
Yeah.
But it is like when Jeff and Joel were talking about the brewing process, I mean, what you were describing in brewing a beer like this is exactly what's happening. I mean, it's much more sugary and sweet. I think that the hops that are in this are being kind of overwhelmed in this beer. I don't get a strong hop flavor. Mm-mm. I get a sweetness that you can really, it's not very boozy to me for the alcohol content. I mean, it's there's booziness in there because it's 11%, but it just tastes sweet to me and sweet and malty.
That lingering taste is very sweet.
Yeah.
It's very present.
So today Lance and I had the Wolf Pup, which this is the Wolf Mother. The Wolf Pup is their session IPA, and it had a similar taste but like a third of the alcohol. And this is just to the extreme. I mean, not every place makes a triple IPA. These are pretty rare. And when we had our triple IPA show, it was tough to get very many beers for that show. But, you know, I applaud them for trying this. It's okay. It's drinkable.
Yeah, but if you say, give me Simtra or give me this, Simtra is 11.25%. Same alcohol. Completely different beer.
Well, even like the Founders Devil Dancer that we had is maybe the booziest beer I've had in a while. It's stronger than this, but it's more enjoyable.
Malt actually comes out even more in that beer, but it's like a little bit darker malt, and it that was a very good beer as well.
I
still got two in the fridge.
This is so syrupy that I feel like I could put it on pancakes.
Yeah.
It is pretty syrupy.
I'm just going to use regular maple syrup.
Definitely not a clean finish.
Unless you want to get drunk while you eat your pancakes.
I can do that.
I would
differently
dislike that.
Okay, well, I think we've described that one. Let's recap the beers we've had, and then we'll pick our favorite beer of the day. Britton, you want to take us through?
So we started off with the Haiku de Saison from Monkish. Then we went into the Not Your Bro Dog IPA from Eagle Rock Brewery.
Terrible name.
Then we moved into the Expatriate IPA from Three Weavers Brewing Company and onto the Melrose IPA from Beechwood Barbecue and Brew. Our strange brew was the Peach Berliner Weiss from the Dudes Brewing Company. We also had the Grapefruit Double IPA from Claremont Craft Ales. Jeff and Lance had the Double Dude Double IPA from Claremont. And then we also had the Hammerland Double IPA from El Segundo. And we finished the night off with Wolfmother Triple IPA from Golden Road Brewing.
All right. Steve's going to spin the wheel and we'll figure out who's going to pick first tonight. Around it goes. Where it stops...
Some people know.
Britain.
Alrighty, so my beer of the day, surprisingly enough, is going to be the Melrose IPA from Beechwood Barbecue and Brew.
An IPA?
Yeah, I say this. Well, it's an IPA show, so I'm limited. But I don't like IPAs that much. I say that all the time. But I felt like this one was one that I could drink. Like everyone else said, the mouthfeel really made that beer. I felt like it was really balanced, and for an IPA, it was definitely drinkable for someone like me who hates IPAs.
I will say that I liked the peach, the strange brew today, the Peach Weiss. I really liked that beer. Wasn't expecting that it was going to be that good, but the beer of the day today is hands down, no doubt, it's Melrose IPA, the Beechwood Barbecue. It is three levels above anything else we had on this show. It's a beer that I would pick on probably many other podcasts we've done as the beer of the day. Very well-crafted beer. If you have a friend that doesn't like IPAs, like Britt and I, and you want to try and introduce them or get them acquainted, have them try that beer. It's hard not to like.
Aye, aye.
Very good. My favorite beer of the day, not my favorite beer name of the day, but my favorite beer of the day was the Not Your Bro Dog IPA. This beer has a lot of the qualities I like in IPAs. It has the caramel malt base with the tropical northwestern hop flavor, the tropical passion fruit type of hops, which I really like. So that beer, it reminded me of like Top Cutter and a lot of these Oregonian beers that we've had in the past. And so that's my favorite beer of the day. Jeffrey.
I will have to concur with Britton and Steve. The Melrose IPA was, by hands down, my favorite beer of the day. I like the Expatriate. I like the Double Dude. I'm sorry, the Claremont Double IPA. But the Melrose IPA was just above the rest. I think it was the mouthfeel, the carbonation, the texture, the buttery characteristic, as Joel said. That beer had the best flavor. That was the beer that if I had to drink a beer every single day, and that was it, I'd be pretty happy. So, you know, it's pretty obvious to me. Melrose IPA is my pick for the beer of the day.
Lance.
A lot of good things said about the Melrose IPA. And I agree, the buttery nature of the mouthfeel. It's like dipping crab legs into butter. I mean, that coating in your mouth is great. However, I have to give credit to the Double IPA for Claremont. That's going to be my beer of the day. 8.5%. Couldn't tell. Very smooth, very drinkable for that level of ABV. Good notes all the way through. Love the profile of the beer. I have to go with the Double IPA from Claremont.
Joel.
So for me, the Melrose IPA is something that I'm like really looking forward to sharing with people. The Simcoe and Amarillo, as well as with that mouthfeel, you just can't beat it. It was so like amazingly crafted. That's got to be my beer of the day.
Excellent. All right, that's going to close out our LA show. We thank you for tuning in, and we'll be back in 2 weeks with a new program. I don't know what the topic's going to be, but we're going to figure it out in the meantime.
Can it be stouts?
Yes. I think we've been kind of IPA-centric lately, so we'll change it up. We'll do some stouts or some porters or something. Yeah, Jeff?
That's fine. It's just been so hot. Like, I want stouts in the wintertime.
Yeah, agreed.
Winer.
We currently have 9,909 likes on Facebook. So we are rapidly approaching 10,000 people. Like number 10,000 is going to get a Beer of the Day pint glass mailed to them. So share our post, and maybe one of your friends will be the one that likes us and gets that pint glass. So like us on Facebook, facebook.com/TheBeerOfTheDay. Follow us on Twitter, at Beer of the Day. And Jeff posts the photo on Instagram every single day, at Beer of the Day site. We'll see you next time. For Jeff Miller, Lance Burks, Joel and Britton Miner, and Steve Williamson, I'm Dallas Hellicker. See you next time here on the Beer of the Day podcast.
Adios, everybody.